Okay, so let's try to make some headway in terms of where we were. So we're trying to break down. This is a very colossal Ramban. Ramban touches on so many different issues. So I just want to, you know, instead of just going through the Ramban, trying to take it through the Ramban to try to finish off some of these questions. So we were in the middle of discussing Chametz She'eina Yadua and the different shitos. So I just want to maybe just, you know, finish off with that first and then go back to discussing a little more about Hefker, finish that off. And then Lifnei and Lachar Zmano. And then finally, the Hagdara of Bittul of something like Inerotza Bikiyumo, etc. Okay, so let's do those four elements to finish off with Ramban. Ramban, of course, again, it's he takes on the whole topic, you know. So all four of these are prominently displayed. The first one, of course, the Chametz She'eina Yadua is what he begins with, that we discussed already. Just a little bit more detail and a few more haros, which fit in hopefully anyway. The biggest raya for the Shita of the Chachmei Provence, and they're the most prominent. Again, most of the Chachmei Sfarad, you know, reject the idea that there's a distinction between Chametz Yadua and Chametz She'eina Yadua. Again, but it's a very popular view in the Chachmei Provence. There it's debated, at least. The Sefer HaMichtam, Hashlama, the Archas Chaim, etc. They're really into this idea. I guess the strongest two rayas, according to the Archas Chaim and the Michtam and so on, are from where? That Chametz Yadua, there is no Bittul, in other words. What are the strongest rayas? Noach?
I can't exactly remember, Rebbe. The idea, I think that I can't remember. I want to say I saw a Bardic Sarashavato, but actually, Sagi, I guess, is one.
The what?
That Bittul Doraita Sagi, that it works.
You know, Bittul Bialma Sagi doesn't prove that it doesn't work on Chametz She'eina Yadua. On Chametz Yadua, sorry. I mean, what is the best proof in the Rishonim that when it comes to Chametz Yadua, Bittul doesn't work? That's what I'm asking. It's okay not to know also. I mean, it's like, it's a bit of a maze, right? Okay, so let's hear Sam.
Yeah, is it from the Nusach of the Bittul? There's also one in the Ushami that...
Afar?
No. It says pretty explicitly that I know, like, Hachamesh Yadueli, something like that.
Well, there are different gersos. I mean, that's interesting. But the nus, we'll discuss the nusach when we get to Dav Zayin more. But right, those nuschos are probably a product. They're not a raya because they're not from the Gemara. Also, the gersa Yadua ve'ini Yadua. Some people have the gersa of Yadua ve'ini Yadua. So I think that's a good point that it's reflected in that, but it's not going to be caused by that. Romy, what would you say is the strongest rayas for the Michtam? You'll see there's a point behind all this, but yeah.
Not remembering either right now.
Okay. Avi?
Well, is it Mentes, where we say it's only because...
Where did you say?
On Mentes. We said that in the Ramban, that because of only extraneous factors.
I mean, the Mentes is not the strongest raya because... it is a strongest raya in the sense that, you know, even the cholkim have to do something with that, you know, for sure. But the answer to that could be doesn't prove, that it applies to any, or that any chametz she'eina yadua, any chametz yadua, because clearly that's a raya against. So that, but the answer there is it's efshar lo efshar. Now, that's the biggest problem that they have, the Michtam and those have, because Bittul works even though it's Yadua. Right, Avi? I assume, unless you're saying something else. You're talking about Memtes, right?
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah.
So what? But I'm interested in the other way. What's the strongest raya that bittul will not work when it's yadua? Memtes is an example where it will work, even though it's yadua. They need to discuss that. The answer is going to be, bittul is brayer or something like that. But what's the strongest raya that when it's yadua and there's no bittul is brayer, that it obviously doesn't work? There are two rayas that they bring. Kyle?
I believe Yonatan and I saw on the Orchot Chaim, it mentions the case of we don't have firewood in front of you in order to do beer chametz.
Where's that Gemara?
It's quoting
Chav Zayin Ud Beis.
Right.
You have it?
I could get it quickly, yeah.
That's good. That's comforting.
It's almost there. Okay. Right. Perfect. It's on the display now. I see. Okay. All right. Starting from the beginning of the Gemara there?
Yeah, just very quickly. The Gemara there speaks about what? This is the point that I'm trying to make, basically. Who are they talking about?
It's a discussion of Bir Chametz going down through Sreifa, quotes Rabbi Yehuda.
Oh.
And it brings up an interesting case where it seems like the person doesn't have the option to do Bir.
They're saying, let's say he doesn't have, why doesn't he have that option?
Right. So, Lo Matza Eidzim Lesorfo, Yehe Yoshev Levatel, is the Gemara's question. He can't burn, doesn't have any wood to burn.
Right. So, that's where the Sefer Michtam on Yud Gimel and the Orchas Chaim say, well, if bittul was an option, right, then this Gemara doesn't make so much sense. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's one Gemara. What's the second Gemara? Would you say? Tovia?
I found the Michtam that he brings a raya from Rabbi Akiva.
Correct. Hey, Yom Aleph, the Gemara that we're going to do next. What's the Raya?
And that because Rabbi Akiva says that Havara is the way to do it, and you can't possibly do it on Yom Tov, so therefore it must be that Achba Yom Rishon is talking about Erev Yom Tov. But if
why not just say,
just do Bittul.
Do Bittul. So I just find it interesting. These are the two strongest Rayas that the Chachmei Provence bring. And I think that in light of everything that we've been saying, we'll repeat a little bit more when we get to the Lifnei Lachar, but we said it already before the break, is that is Rabbi Yehuda, right, a good raya in all these things, right? Even if you hold that according to the Chachamim, that Hashpasasa b'chol davar, that there's also the always also the possibility, a bittul. Is it possible that when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda specifically, and again this goes back to what I said, Rabbi Chaim and the Minchas Chinuch and the Yerushalmi and so on and so forth, and that is Rabbi Yehuda has a much more emphatic view of what the Kiyum of Tashbisu is about to begin with. So is it a coincidence that the two Gemaras that are the strongest evidence for the Chachmei Provence are both Rabbi Yehuda Rayas? And in a way, the Makor Chaim doesn't say it so explicitly. One second. Hold on one second. Sorry. The Makor Chaim doesn't say it so explicitly, but he does partly say it. Right? In his Hakdama, the same one where he talks about, Misasek and so on, famous one. So at one point he says, I'm going to wade in, and analyze the question of Bittul b'chametz yadua. Atanavol va'eri bittul mahani l'chametz yadua, kedas haposkim, Olomahani Kadasaram. He was Makabal, I guess, the Girsa in the Rambam, like the Chachmei Provence, like the Kesem Mishnah initially had it, namely that Chametz Yadua is not effective for Bittul. Right? And then he quotes a Pri Chadash, Hevi Harbe Rayas Tamahani Kamosha Tikem, and he goes into the whole thing. He quotes the Pnei Yoshua, which Noam had mentioned the other day, which is to be Mechalik between Baal Yiroah, the Yisur of Baal Yiroah, and the Mitzvah of Tashbisa. Of course, that answers a lot of the Rayas, because every time you have a Rayan, for the Pnei Yoshua, it's just like, you know, perfect. We'll discuss the parameters in just a second, but for the Pnei Yoshua, you can navigate any piece of evidence you want, pretty much, right? Anything that proves that Chametz Yadua works bebitol is Baal Yiroah. Anything that proves that Chametz Yadua doesn't work for bitol is Teshbisu. Okay. Anyway, so that's the Pnei Yoshua. He quotes the Pnei Yoshua. But then in the end, towards the middle of the piece, he seems to be mechalek between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Benir Rabbi Yehuda Sover, the Chametz Boi Sreifa, Af Shabitlo. Lefiza Af Shabitlo Mekomakom, Harei Kishari Suriana, Shagam Kein Eina Bershuso. So without going into all the details, again, I don't think he's saying it for this reason, but structurally it comes out this way. The Chiddush of the Mekor Chaim is that if you hold like, this is an interesting question, even if you hold like the Pnei Yoshua, right? So according to the Pnei Yoshua, again, Bittul works for Baal Yiroah. You know, Bittul will not work for Tashbisa. By the way, the Chiluk of the Pnei Yoshua, you could have said, you could have drawn the line, as we said the other day, in one of three places. Now, if once you're saying that, you could say, well, Bittul is never Tashbisu. Bittul always, no matter what, in the best of circumstances, even in Chametz, She'ena Yadua. Never mind Chametz She'ef Shar Levayer. Never mind Chametz Yadua Ve'ef Shar Levayer. That's one position. Let's say within the Pnei Yoshua world, you could say it's always only effective for Baal Yiroah and not Tashbisu. I mean, the truth is, again, it's a little mechudash. If the word bittul means Tashbisu, it's hard to say that. But let's say you were to say that, again, like the Chachmei Svarad, like the Medrash Halacha, right, that bittul, not like Unklus and Rashi and so on, that, bittul is lecha velo chametz shebittel. So then you could say, you could draw the line there, you could say, bittul's never a kiyum and tashbisu, it's always only Baal Yiroah, right? If you think that in theory there is some bittul that is tashbisu, and especially if it comes from that pasuk, so then you could draw the line at, but that's only be'eni yadua legamri, right? But if it's Yadua, even if it's Yadua v'efshar, maybe there's no kiyum. Or maybe you could say that that's the place to draw the line, namely that maybe Chametz, even Yadua, will work with Bittul under all conditions, even if it's, Yadua v'efshar levayer. But if it's efshar levayer, then Beetle's also a key. And along the lines that we explained the other day, either in terms of Pivolivo kind of Shavin, but especially according to what I was suggesting, which is, kind of Enerotza Bikiyumo, or doing the best you can. So within the, what I'm going to say now is two things. Number one, within the Pnei Yoshua Chiluk, where you make this distinction between Baal Yiroah and Tashbisu, there are three options. That's it. Number two is, what about throwing Rabbi Yehuda, into the mix? So that's where I'm quoting the Mekor Chaim. But I thought this even before I way back saw the Mekor Chaim, frankly. What I'm saying is, the strongest rayas for the Chachmei Provence are within Rabbi Yehuda. And what I'm saying is, if you hold like Reb Chaim, like the Midrash Chinuch, like the others, each in their own way, that Reb Yehuda is unique, right? And that the Sreifa isn't just a Hecha Timtzi, an application, a Machlokas in details, but it is really about whether, let's say for Reb Chaim's point of view, whether there's a Kiyum in the Chafetz itself that you need to kind of engender, right? Or Kum Va'aseh, as opposed to a Shev Al Tasa. If that affects things like, do you have to buy chametz in order to destroy it? Is a difference between Rabbi and the Chachamim. Nasis mitzvaso, Reb Chaim. Lava nita klase, Reb Chaim. Right? Or other things that we've been, lifnei, is beer lifnei zmano or lachar zmano? That's my suggestion, a little bit. That Tosis and the Rambam and that, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Right? For Tosas, it's a natural to think it's like Nosar. And also, it's just emphatic Sreifa. I can do that Lifnei Zmano when it's nothing. Even if it's something. And for the Ramban, in addition to the other point of Rabbi Natam and the Ramban that we mentioned the other day about, you know, the Shitasam and Hetera Nisurabala. Right? But for the Ramban, you know, Chachamim, maybe Rashi, Lifnei Zmano is fine. There's no Nosa to worry about. So I'm saying, if you make all these and more distinctions, then to say, listen, can Bittul be a Kiyum in Tashbisu? In the same way that Sreifa is? It goes a little bit, by the way, to the Makor Chaim, the same piece earlier, where he said, like, how do you read the Gemara? On Dalet Amud Beis, our Gemara. Right? Because it sounds, one way to read it sounds like that we're saying is that Bidika is only Durabanan because Beatles Darais, because when Beatles Daraisa. But then you should think that Bidika is Daraisa, you know, without Bittul. So how would you read the Gemara if you think it means more than that? So, right, the Makor Chaim said, no. But I, he doesn't say, he says it in his way, you know. And I kind of, at the time, expanded it to this, because this is what I always had in mind, which is, maybe what the Gemara is saying is, you know, if Bittul works, then Bidika is not going to work. They're not going to both be the Raisa. Not true according to some Rishonim, but at least according to the Rishonim who are saying this. Not when there's Bittul, there's Bidika Durabana. Maybe it's incompatible to look at them that way. But Makor Chaim says, maybe that depends on Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Right? Bidika as like Tchilas Bior, he says, and especially Sreifa and Bittul, they can't both be Dorais. If one's Dorais, so the other's, meaning the Bidika part especially, not going to work. So I think that the same mentality, and it's based on this whole idea, meaning what we're saying now is, what I'm saying now is, for Rabbi Yehuda, there's a strong, it's very unlikely that Bittul b'chametz yodua is going to work. If you live in a world where Sreifa is Bior, you know, then Bittul b'chametz yodua is even worse than just saying Bittul. You might even think that the Bittul can't be a Kiyum Tashbisu. So what? Bittul's never a Kiyum Tashbisu? Or at least it's not a Kiyum Tashbisu, but Makom She'efshar Lasos Bior or Sreifa. Now again, the two cases are cases that are kind of in between, because one of them is Yantif, but it would be ubiquitously Yantif, because that's what Biyom Rishon means. And the other one would be like, you know, Ein Lo Eitzim, you know, Yoshev Batel. That means a Yafshar or just a Yafshar because you didn't have the foresight, you know, to go collect some wood. Okay. So I'm not sure. So what I'm asking is, for Rabbi Yehuda in general, Bittul can't be a Kiyum. It can only be at best, a Balyiroa solution. Maybe not even that. Because remember also, if you're a Sreifa person and you think you've got to seek and destroy, you're also more likely, you know, to have expanded, you know, boundaries in terms of violating Baal Yiroah. That's requiring more extraordinary steps, right, to just, you know, to unequivocally negate the chametz. Okay, so that's what I'm suggesting. The Makor Chaim himself does say, is this true for Bittul alone, all Bittul? Or is he only saying, I'd have to look at it again, only Bittul b'chametz yadua? I'm not 100% sure. That, you know, for Rabbi Yehuda, there's still a mitzvah of Sreifa. But he seems to be saying that for the Chachamim, there's no mitzvah of the Hashmasasa b'chol davar if you do Bittul. So let's assume for the moment within the Pnei Yeshua worldview, that let's say it isn't all Bittul, or it is, doesn't matter. Let's assume for the moment, Bittul b'chametz yodua. So there's no Baal Yiroah, and there is Tashbisu. So why wouldn't you have to do Hashbasasa b'chol davar for the Chachamim? But you would have to do Sreifa for Rabbi Yehuda, which is what he's saying. Maybe because even if in the end of the day, right, there's a difference between neutralizing Baal Yiroah and the Kiyum of Tashbisu, and you can have one without accomplishing the other, right? Let's say you get rid of all your chametz in advance, sell it to a non-Jew. No Kiyum Tashbisu, but there's no Baal Yiroah. But is there still a chiyuv, like the Minchas Chinuch? Is there a chiyuv to go out and do it? Or you might even say, you know, the Isra say of Tashbisu, you've accomplished. The Kiyum Tashbisu, you know, is only mechuyev when there's an Isra. Or there is no Kiyum for the Chachamim. Whichever of these, it doesn't really matter. There are different ways to say the same. These are different ways to say. There might be Nafkamina, but they're on the same, you know, plotted, you know, course, if you will. In the end of the day, what I'm saying is, once again, that if Sreifa is a different kind of Tashbisu, because it's more Kumbase, or more of a Kiyum, or more of a Kiyum in the Chafza, then the Chachamim's Hashmasasa B'chol Davar, then the idea that even after Bittul you do Sreifa, or at least after Bittul of Chametz Yadua, makes a lot of sense. It might even make sense and spill over into the conditions of Baal Yiroah itself in a broader way. Okay? So that is what I wanted to say about the Pnei Yeshua, the three places to draw the line, and the evidence of the Chachmei Provence within Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. One other ha'ara on that, that of course is the question of Achshavei, just very briefly. We talked about Achshavei earlier in the year. We're going to speak about it again, hopefully in a couple of minutes. What is Achshavei? What is Achshavei? Zach?
It's when you destroy the chametz in a way that's not directly Sreifa, but the Torah considers it as Sreifa or anything.
Right, it's where you do something. Right, you do, it doesn't have to be chametz, right. Meaning where you do something which objectively is inadequate, let's say, to some standard, right? But given a certain other relationship, right, that kind of raises the profile or you know, kind of lends stature, you know, to, you know, the event. That sounds very abstract. Okay, so again, let's say you have something which is Alpi Din like Afar, which we're going to get to in Sefer Mechtam, like something that's Afar, Alpi Din. Or even in fact, let's say you eat the Afar. Doesn't sound very good. Or you eat something which Alpi Din is considered Afar, that's a little better, like Chametz. Right? So you're still treating it as Afar? Or by virtue of the fact that you're eating it, you know, when you're treating it a certain way, right? This is the toothpaste question, you know, on Pesach, I guess. You know, if it's Eneroi Lachilas Kalev, you know, but you use it in a prominent way. Actually, the Rashi in Masechet Beitzah is a little bit of a different one that I was describing before. Rashi in Beitzah of Zion, we mentioned it when we talked about being Machal Behemas Hefker in the beginning of the year. Romy, remember? The Rashi and Beitza?
Yeah, we talked about how because you, meaning when you were machil chametz to a behema, because the primary way of getting rid of it is beer, we consider that like sreifa?
Yeah, exactly. But there it's not a chametz question. There it's actually in Beitza, the Chavdai, and the Sugya is about sreifas kodshim biyomtov.
Right.
But it doesn't... You plugged it in absolutely correctly. Meaning there's a situation where, you know, ein sarfin is a kodshim biyantiv. Because that's, you know, mishochan gavoa, it's a kiyum, you know, it's not a heterochal nefesh. So let's say you're machal behema truma tmeya. So it's kilui shalom al yidei sreifa. So the big chiddush of Rashi is that since it's a kiyum of kilui, you know, truma tmeya, and usually, typically, that's done b'derech sreifa, right? So it's also to do it on yontif. Big chiddush. We talked about it. That's what we were talking about in terms of, you know, being machal behemas hefker, you know, and how that fits in with that Rashi, or how Rashi l'shitaso, you know, here fits in with that one. Correct, Romy? So this is an interesting question too. Let's say you do bittul because you can't do havara. Is that a kind of an achshave? Like, who believes in these achshaves? Not every rishon, clearly, but it's an interesting question. So, for example, we're going to have this. We'll speak more specifically about it, but there's a big mystery in the Gemara. Especially according to certain Rishonim. And that is, if you find chametz on Pesach, the Gemara says on the above, that, you know, kofel of a sakli, the question is, like, why can't you burn it? Or why can't you at least throw it in the river? So burning it is a mitoch question. Right, is that heterochol nefesh? Is that mitoch? We'll discuss that. Very important. In its own right and as a chametz application. But let's say you hold like the chachamim, ashpasasa b'chol davar, like the Rambam. So why can't you just throw it in the river? There's no malacha throwing something in the river. Let's say there's an eruv or whatever it is. So what's the problem with that? So, and yet the Rambam paskins kofa levas akli. So this is a big mystery, the big discussion in the heart. Is it mukta? Is it, like, what is it? Some people think it's a kind of an akshave. Anyway, why am I telling you that all now? So that also is an interesting question. In the sugya daf hei, the raya that they bring from daf hei, you know, like, what's the proof that this is so good? There's no havara, let him do bittul. Number one, if you say that the word ach biyom arishon tashmisu sarmi batechem always refers to yontif, the problem is that there should never be havara and sreifa, and it'll only be bittul. It's one thing to say, oh, bittul could substitute for havara when you can't do it, or, you know, at least it doesn't prove exclusively what the pasuk means, but the pasuk will never mean that. But the second point is this achshavei idea that some achronim suggest, which is that if there's a din of havara, then accomplishing the same goal through bittul may also be aser, just like Rashi and Beitza and Daf Chav Zayin. Okay, so these are all things to consider. Within the debate in the Rishonim. Okay, one other thing just to mention.
Does Rebbe mean that Achshavei issue of the Bittul substituting the Avara, would that only be true for Rebbe Yehuda?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean it for Rebbe Yehuda, yeah. And the Gemara is Rebbe Yehuda.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, the Makor Chaim, let me just say one other thing. I find it very interesting that he makes a distinction with regard to chametz, bittul chametz yadua, and that you need sreifa lachar bittul for Rabbi Yehuda, and not for the chachamim. Because he actually, when it comes to nasis mitzvaso, does equate hashmas hasa b'chol davar of the chachamim and sreifa of Rabbi Yehuda. And when it comes to, he also considers being mefarer to be an act of kilui. So I think it's a really interesting thing in this kind of large, this big topic that we are touching on, namely, is the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim a qualitative or just a quantitative debate, meaning what's the tzura of the biur or what is the nature and character of the biur, in terms of all these things. So you could be mechalik in a lot of applications. Like we're discussing quite a few of them across the board. I don't mean to say that it's, if you hold this midrab Yehuda lo nishma l'chachamim or vice versa, I don't mean to say that it applies to everything. We're talking about, nasis mitzvaso, lavanita klase, right? Lifnei or la'achar, zmano, achshavei, kimbitol, work, period, or is tashbisu, or at least in chametz yadua, the relationship between bedika doraisa and bitol doraisa, a whole bunch of things, kuvasei. Of course, there could be certain dinim that depend on, like Reb Chaim says, on there being a kiyum in the Cheftza. Reb Chaim thinks he's the most specialized. This is a great example where you have, by the way, overlap between, kind of Reb Chaim's approach and many Achronim and implicit maybe in many of the Rishonim. Reb Chaim's not the first person to say that you don't necessarily apply mid Rabbi Yehuda Nishma l'Chachamim. I think he is the first person to be very specific in suggesting that the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is that for the Chachamim, there's a mitzvah, and a kiyum agavra, whereas if you require sreifa, what you're also suggesting is that there's a kiyum hamitzvah in the cheftza shel chametz itself. That nuance and like sensitivity even to that idea, frankly, that there can be a kiyum in the chafza shel iser, like a tikkun bifnim or a dechia, bifnim. That idea, as far as I know, is unique and singular to Reb Chaim. I would say very characteristic, of his, halachic reality, lumdish thinking. It's like we always say, whether it's about mitzvah B'nai Noach and Klal Yisrael or other things, when the things are most proximate, that's when also the subtle differences are most pronounced. We learned Kedushin a bunch of years ago, talking about Eidei Kiyum for Reb Chaim, Eidei Kiyum for the Or Sameach. A lot of overlap. But in the differences, right, you really, Reb Chaim's contribution comes alive. We talked about, we learned Sanhedrin some years ago, the difference between the din of, Rov and Ruba Kekula, for Abchayim and for, let's say, the Kuntras HaSfekos or others. There's a lot of overlap. But sometimes that's where you get. So I think that's the chit. The Reb Chaim's idea is like the Minchas Chinuch. It's like Kum Vaseh Shev Al Taaseh, Yisrael Seh Kiyum Vaseh. As I said, for Reb Chaim, it's this idea of a Kiyum in the Chafza. So then, why am I telling you that? In addition to being interesting, hopefully, but what I'm trying to say is then the applications also become a little more complicated, and you can understand like who said that. Does Nitakla say? Does that depend on a kiyum in the chefza, or a kiyum in or simply fulfilling the mitzvah become vasei a chovas hagavra? And nasis mitzvaso is very compelling, because the whole idea of nasis mitzvaso is like that you by doing this you do something to the chefetz so that you can now. I wouldn't say rehabilitate it, but it's, there's a post, mitzvah, nasis mitzvaso and chefza. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's question. Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, how come the Mishnah and Temura, which talks about nasis mitzvaso, distinguishes between nisrafim and nigbarim, how come it includes chametz Pesach according to Rabbi Yehuda? The Chachamim also think that there's a mitzvah. That's Rabbi Kivager's way of saying Mida Rabbi Yehuda Nishma L'Chachamim. And that's Rabbi Chaim's answer, which is Nasis Mitzvasa depends on a kiyum in the Chefza such that you can now use this Chefetz because you did your job with it. You don't have that in Hashmasasa B'chol Davar. You only have that in Sreifa or Chiyuv Sreifa. Okay, but as for Lavanita Klase, that's an interesting point. Does Lavanita Klase, does the Asay have to be a Kiyum in the Chefza as opposed to just a Chovetz HaGavro? Whereas for the Michas Chinuch, as say in the others, it's more like, do we only care, is Tashbisu making sure there's no Baal Yiruah? And it's mostly like in Isras, it's encouraging an initiative on the to negate or to avoid the Isser? Or is it really a mitzvah, chiyuv, a chova, a kumvase? Here already, there's a lot of room for distinction. So if the Makor Chaim thinks that, let's say, nasas mitzvaso is an equivalence, but not in whether it's a chiyuv sreifa or a mitzvah sreifa lachar bitol, that's just, goes into this whole mix, this whole hierarchy of what depends on what. Okay. Anyways, that is in terms of Chametz Yaduah. In terms of the Rambam himself, just to note, what's the story with the Rambam? Josh? Yeah. So what is the, how does it, in terms of the, like the major no say Kalim? Correct. Yeah, he's very enamored with that Havamina, that the Bittel should apply when you find the Gluska Yata, as we discussed. Again, I think that's the weakest just because it's only a Shaka Vitaria and so on. But it is if you isolate it and if you accept it, it is probably the strongest piece of evidence because there you could just as well beer it, right? Okay, so the Kesselim Mishnah changes much. Along the way, the Kesselim Mishnah says something very fascinating that I wanted to also get on the record. Namely, Josh? Remember or not? Yes, exactly. Yeah. What is that? Exactly. And that's exactly the motivating factor, is exactly as you said it. It's to navigate the evidence. But the formulation is on the surface very mechudash. Where Yonatan, where do we get, where do we have another, where do we have Nusarul Kasav Kachamim? And is it a, like an obvious idea or an innovative one? And when should it work and when shouldn't it work? I gave you like so many things to talk about.
Regarding the idea of Masur Chum, is there be talking about it just in general?
Yeah, in general. Are you familiar with Masur Kasav the Chachamim? Any other ones?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Okay, if you don't have it right away, which we'll get to in a second, Yitzchak, what do you think? Okay, but I'm still going to ask you the second question. Namely, what do you think about when should it work, when shouldn't it work? Yitzchak Weiss?
By Cholamoid.
Excellent. Right? Some people, that's the pshat many have, that in Cholamoid, if you assume that the Isur Malacha on Cholamoid is Daraisa, but it's so spotty, right? So they say, Misarua Kasav V'Chachamim. So when, Yonatan, what do you think? And then if not, Yitzchak, or both. Or maybe they'll argue about it. Can't imagine. It should work or it shouldn't work. What's the problem with Masarua Kasav V'Chachamim? You know, and when should it not work and when should it work? Would you say? What do you think, Yonatan? Jonathan? Yitzchak, get back to
me. Yeah, I would assume it would work in only chametz. I mean, that's the way to explain why it's chametz yadua, you know, yadua, why it wouldn't work, no?
Say that one more time?
I mean, yeah, that's the explanation, how you could say.
I'm asking a broader question at the moment. I'm asking, you know, this halachic, you know, principle, or this, you know, this phenomenon more of Misarua Kosov L'Chachamim. Like, they just take a step back. What do you think about that? Like, when you hear it, it's obvious, Mechudash. When should it work? When shouldn't it work? What should be the rule? Jonathan, what do you think? If you were designing the rules,
when the Torah is purposely vague, I mean, when it is vague for us to understand,
I guess being vague. Okay, so being vague is like a, you know, sounds like a license.
No, I mean, like the word like Tashmidu, right, would be a good example then. Or like the, like Cholamoid, like just kind of like we don't exactly, we just know that there's this inyan between two Yom Tovim, that there's like this time. Like, what exactly, how do you define that time? Oh, so then like okay. We see like there's like the basis of it, but like the specifics of what exactly I do, correct. That's what the Chacham is trying to
the
define.
More general you are, and the more there's like a two-step process. Let's say. Now, there's when you have a specific, you know, very clearly defined, you know, mitzvah or iser, right? You're not going to get Misarua Kasav L'Chachamim because that's an unacceptable overlap or interference. You know, Doraisa L'Chud, Drabanan L'Chud. You know, mitzvah L'Shmo, Adivrei Chachamim, or L'Sos, or, you know, we the Chachamim have rights and prerogatives. You know, you have this famous discussion with the Rambam and the Ramban and Shin, you know, the Shiroshim and Sefer HaMitzvos, whether Drabbanans are Doraisa, but that's a whole different story, right? Something that's Doraisa is Doraisa, and it has a Hagdara. You don't typically say, very, very rare to say, Misarua Kasav L'Chacham. First of all, Doraisa doesn't usually see that prerogative to the Chachamim. And it would be strange if it did, because the way we look at these dinim, and typically, is that they are they're defined. That's what we spend our time doing, trying to define them. It can be debatable what the definitions, what the parameters are, but Misarua Kasav HaChamim implies a certain flexibility. And as you said correctly, Jonathan, you know, there has to be like an opening. It has to be vague. You know, either the definition or the application has to be more general, more flexible, more vague. What does that typically typify or reflect? Usually, you know, a broader kind of an obvious, sometimes like a two-stage, you know, process. So like in Chol HaMoed, as you said it correctly, like, you know, there's Yisur Melach on Shabbos, there's Yisur Melach on Yom Tov. Both of those are very specific. Then there's something called Chol. And then there's this hybrid thing, very vague by definition, called Chol HaMoed. Right? It's, you know, as they say in Yiddish, it's nishtahin, nishtaher. What is it exactly? Right? It's like a ben hashmashos, you know? It's a little bit of both. It's somewhere in between. What is that? So then you're going to get Misarua Kasav L'Chacham. But even then, what do we mean by that? The Chacham gets to fill in the blanks. The Ramban, in his Perush al Torah, right, has this famous view that, you know, Shabboson is a mitzvah say that includes drabanans, or what we call drabanans shvusim. Like, what does he mean by that? It's so strange. But the evidence is overwhelming. The Rama may hold that way too. Perek Chav Aleph, Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph. Sounds like he, you know, beat the Ramban to it. He just didn't say it as clearly, you know, by more than a century. But, like, what is that? The answer is, if there is kind of a, instead of, if the details don't drive it, but the sensibility drives it, right? It's attitudinal more, you know, and there is, by definition, therefore, gray area, right? Then the Chachamim, who are the authoritative expositors of the system. And I, by the way, I think it has a double meaning, you know. Number one, they have insight. They're the Chachmei HaMesorah. They have the best, keenest intuition. You know, so they get to fill in some of the blanks in these cases. Moreover, because of the first, they're also the authority figures. And therefore, once they establish something as being appropriate, inappropriate, a good application or not, that is a force in its own right. It's not just, oh, their judgment is good, right? For somebody on Shabbos, you know, to do a shvus, you know, that the Chachamim said you shouldn't do, you know, in addition to reflecting inappropriate, let's say, uvid the call, whatever you want to call it, it also is a slap in the face, not just to the Chachamim, but to Shabbos, once the Chachamim said you shouldn't do it. So there's a certain de facto, you know, status as a result. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other, and sometimes it's both. So Chol HaMoed, clearly the point behind Chol HaMoed is, right, not so much specific Isur Melacha like a Maisa Veira, but that every Isur that you do on Chol HaMoed is a violation of making it a Miktas, a Yom Mikra Kodesh in a broader sense, right? It isn't the Ksiva, and it isn't the, you know, the Zorea, whatever it is. It's those, you know, as treating a Miktas Mikra Kodesh or a Mikra Kodesh as a Yom Chol, or deflecting from, you know, the spiritual opportunities of the day, the way the Yerushalmi says it, like this is a day of Limud HaTorah, this is a day of, you know, of Lifnei Hashem, and you're just treating it like a regular day. So the Chacham get to fill in the blanks, you know, both instinctively as well as authoritatively, you know, to figure that out. That's Besara Katsav Lechachamim, where you have it. You don't have it so often. So when the Kesav Mishnah says you have it here, it's a little bit, whoa. Well, it's surprising. But not really. Because if the idea is, right, that if Tashbis was already sharing, you know, a phrase across Bittul and Biur, equal, weighted, as the case may be. And if the bigger idea, right, is to be emphatically rejecting chametz, and maybe maximally so based on the possibilities, then the chachamim, you know, get to determine, you know, the parameters of that. Because, again, it's a two-stage process. It's not like a very specific, the Torah said, eat. You know, the Torah said, you know, blow the shofar. Sit in the sukkah. Well, even sit in the sukkah, by the way, because the Torah said basically sit in the sukkah. It didn't say eat in the sukkah. It didn't say sleep in the sukkah. So there's a bit of aspect of that, you know, there too. But here, the Torah uses a phrase, Tashbisu. You know, there's the huge debate, how many things it means, what it really means. And we could totally also understand in context, you know, Chametz is different than other Isurim, Lekula and Lechomra. There's Bal Yirah and Tashbisu. There's Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So in light of all that, you know, it's almost exactly what we said, just under the rubric of Mesura Kasav Chachamim. What I was saying the other day was, you know, even the Michtam is basically telling you what he does with Psachem Memtes. He doesn't need to say Mesura Kasav Chachamim. He understands that if it's Safek, and Ene Yadu Al Mamish, or if it's Iefshar Achshav, right? It's not that Bittul doesn't work when it's Yadua. Bittul doesn't work when Bior is a much better alternative, and then we're more focused on the fact that you're doing when you're doing second best, maybe you're not even doing anything. Or maybe we're more focused on the fact that you're not doing best. So you're holding back from your expression of rejection of the chametz. That's exactly, you're not doing anything. Is it you're not doing anything, or you're not doing it maximally and you need to do it max? However you want to say it. For the Kesav Mishnah, it's still Mechudash. That can be Misaru HaKasav L'Chachamim. Okay. So, okay. Yeah. The Lecha Mishnah, in that respect, has an interesting Ha'ara too. Anybody catch on to it? Tani? Lecha Mishnah?
No, I don't know.
Okay, Lecha Mishnah, like the conclusion of the Kesav Mishnah, not the first view of the Kesav Mishnah, which is the more interesting view, holds that Lahalacha, the Rambam holds, that Chametz Yadua, Bittul works. Garbina Manoach thinks that Lahalacha does not. And again, the Chachmei Provence and the Rambam, they're happy to claim the Rambam as one of their own with that girsa, but not. Kesav Mishnah's conclusion is, it works. Lecha Mishnah's conclusion is, it works. But, according to the Lecha Mishnah, there's always a preference for Bior, even if it always works. You have a line there, Tani? No?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Kach nira demash amar Rabbeinu kan shiyasir lav lememra diem bitlo lo stagi b'hachi al shakaso kineneshu aderach hayosir nachon.
Oh.
Shekevan chubir shusto b'roa vadai shetzarach shiyalirena. Kach nira demash amar
Rabbeinu. What do you mean? Who says? It works, it works. Like a number of you after this year asked me, you know, we were talking about Tashbisu and you know, priority. Like, if something is, it works, it works. Like, where, how do you get L'chatchila b'diavad out of that? Right. But we understand it now. The same reason the Kesef Mishnah can say Masorah Kasev v'Chachamim, the Lechem Mishnah can say there's a preference. And just like there might be a preference for Rishonim, and we found the full rate. Again, by the way, the Ramban says it. Right? The Ramban says that Biur is preferable to Betel in the piece. Said that very clearly. Whereas the Ritva and some of the other Rishonim think, you know, that they discuss the question of Bedika and Bedika and Betel. So there's a debate. Okay. So that's in terms of, that's what I want to talk about in terms of Chametz Hadur, Chametz Sheni Hadur. And of course, it fits in perfectly with everything we've been discussing. Now let's turn our attention to the Hefker point. Let's finish up with Hefker. For now, I mean, Hefker, you understand, is a massive, massive topic. You know, and Yitzchak, Talinsky. Yeah. So what do we know? Let's get back to Hefker for a minute. So we have Rabbeinu Tam, right? And the Ri. They hold that Bittul is Hefker. And we have the Ramban arguing, correct? And then we have the Meiri in Magen Avos, you know, taking on the Ramban's questions and defending the position of Bali Tosis. Correct? I'm just saying, you know, I'm setting it up for you. And then we have the Maram Chalava, who also defends the position of Balei Tosis. Again, a typical, you know, Provençal, you know, Ashkenaz, Provence, Spain, Provence, you know, one of those back and forth things. Okay. So, What's the upshot of it all? Let's go one by one. We started with this on Sunday. Let's try to finish off. So Yitzhak, you have Tosis.
Yeah.
What is Tosis assuming?
Tosfos assumes that Bittel is Hefker.
Bittel is Hefker. It's not Tosbisu, by the way.
Not Tosbisu at all.
Correct. Which is interesting, because according to the, you know, again, this is part of my kind of like the meta, you know, history of halacha kind of part of it, which is like, look what happens over time in the, you know, in the discussion over the generations. Because for the Ran, let's say, who defends Rabbeinu Tam, and frankly for the Meiri and the Maram Chalava, who defend Rabbeinu Tam, Hefker might end up being a kiyum and tashbisu, not just the neutralization of Bayurah. And actually, it makes total sense, as we'll see, given what happened, I mean, given the unfolding of the different positions. So let's start. But Pashtus is, Bali Tosis hold, Hefker is nothing to do with tashbisu, right? But it is bittul. And it works because it neutralizes Bayura. But what's that based on? The assumption is based on what?
The assumption is based on the fact that the only way to fulfill Tashbisu is Sreifa.
Okay, no, that's for sure true. So then Tashbisu, you know, Biur has Tashbisu all to itself. There aren't two, you know, Tashbisu doesn't have to carry, you know, more than one category. And they don't even have to get into the whole question of, you know, sometimes this, sometimes that, or all times both, but, you know, which one equal or you know, Ikar or Tafel in which direction. You don't even have to get into that, right? It's a simpler, cleaner reading of the Psukim. Okay, that's fine. But what does it assume about Bayirah? And what does it assume about Hefker? That's what I want to know for the moment, just to pin that down quickly.
It assumes that that Hefker is a method to remove Chametz completely from your Rishus so that you don't violate Bala Rabbi Matzah.
Okay. And that's basically two assumptions. One is it seems to be that Hefker is a Hafkas Bailus, Lagamri, right? And secondly, the Hafkas Bailus, Lagamri, if it's not Shulcha, per se, that is good enough for Bayi Rabbi Matze. Okay? There could be a third, not a third assumption. If you didn't like, you know, the two, you know, there is something else you could say, which I think is not probably implicit in Tosas at all, but is going to, you know, resonate, you know, in the unfolding again of the discussion. And that is, no, maybe there's a view that in order to neutralize Bayi Raya, maybe Hefker isn't Hafkos Kinyan, but maybe you actually don't need Hafkos Kinyan to neutralize Bayi Raya. Maybe even less will neutralize Bayi Raya. In other words, in theory, let's take, in other words, point number one, what does it take to neutralize Bayi Raya? So in theory, you could say even less than Hafkos Bayi. You could be a formal owner and still not violate Bayi Raya. That's one extreme. And I think we're going to show that in the Rishonim. You could also go the other extreme, Yitzhak, and say, even if you're not the owner, you could still violate Bayi Raya. Correct?
Yeah.
And that's, in fact, what the Ramban is considering. Right? So let's just say for now that Tosis is assuming, you know, I'm forget about this other view, which we're going to get back to, but Tosis, let's pashtus, because they don't even need Xeris and Kosov. Right? Tosis thinks the whole thing is just, once Tosis makes one big leap, and that is that Bitol isn't part of Tashbisu, and that it's just a pragmatic way of neutralizing Bayi Raya, it sounds like they don't think anything else, you know, requires such complexity. Okay? So let's just take the two assumptions that Yitzhak, you know, pinned down for us. A, Hefker is Hafkos Bailus. B, Hafkos Bailus is what's Koveya, yes or no, Bayi Raya. And Tosis is fine. So the Ramban, right, in disagreeing with that, can attack either or both of these points, right? And alachat achat, that's what we already saw, right? Let's say David. It's easier to call on everybody on Zoom than it is in the big room. David Gelbtach, even though you are in the big room, which is great. Look forward to seeing you there on Thursday. So what is the Ramban attack?
Right, so the Ramban attacks that he says that it's not a he says it's a lot, it's not considered a heron.
Oh, so Ramban is pointing out again. Let's go through this part quickly because we said already. The Ramban points out that there are two limudim for goy, for nachri. Right, kivshasa ain't on kivshasa, and that already may demonstrate that has nothing to do with hefker. Right, there are two axes here. One is, what does Hefker do? And you could also add, if you want to be, you know, a little more nuanced here, what does Hefker do and what does it do here specifically? Because maybe this category of chametz is a little bit different, given Rabbi Shmuel. We're not up to there yet. And what, you know, that's a Hefker. There's a Hefker question and a Bayi Raya question. The Ramban starts off with the Bayi Raya point, which is, if you need two psukim for Nachri, then it's an open question whether Hafkos Bailus is sufficient. Maybe it's Bailus Akum as a poter, which is Koveya. In which case, if you can distinguish between Nachri Shiv Kvshasa, Nachri Shini Kvshasa, and then you're saying that Nachri and Gavoa are miyuchasim, it's because of what the bailus is, not because of the absence of your own bailus, then Hefker is going to be up in the air. That's point number one. And I already made the allusion to Trumos and Maestros and other areas of halacha where Nochri and Gavoa and Hefker, frankly, Hefker and Trumos and Maestros, are not just questions of lack of ownership, but they are bailios, right? Hapotros in some cases. Okay. That's point number one. And that Ramban makes clear. But the Ramban also alludes to the fact that there's a Hefker element. And that is it true that Hefker is Mafkia? Let's assume for the moment, no. The Maskana of the Tupsukim, maybe the Havamin of the Tupsukim in Nachri, what is it depends on Bailus Nachri, and maybe it can be Mechalik. And maybe the Gili Milsa is, no. As long as there's an absence of Bailus Shalcha, that's enough. Or at least a Bailus Yisrael. We're not getting into the Mafke Nifkin Mocher Lokeach. We'll get into that. We're going to revisit this. Don't worry. So in the end of the day, let's say the Maskana is that Shalcha is a requirement. Still says the Ramban, the fact that you could be Zoche La'atzmecha might dictate that ad sheyizka acher, ad sheyizaker acher, right, hefker still inadequate for Bal Yiruah. Now, why do I add for Bal Yiruah? Because the Ramban isn't saying this according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds generally that hefker doesn't work until somebody else is zoche. Ramban also asks from Rabbi Yossi Aglili, like, what are you going to do for Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Fine. But that's not what he's asking now. What he's saying now is, even if in Kol Torah Kula, Hefker pretty much works, even before somebody else is Zoche, maybe here in Chametz, that's not enough. Because the fact that you could be Zoche is still, what? A Metzaref. Now, is this a Chametz comment of the Ramban, foreshadowing what he's about to say about Chametz in Inarot of Bikiyumo? Or is it also, or maybe even sufficiently, even without that, a comment about Hefker? Namely, Hefker is never Haknala Acherin. It's Siluk. And Siluk always retains, how out of your Rishus is even Siluk? Right? You can look at Hefker's Hakna L'Olam, Hakna to Breira, to who ultimately will pick it up. Hakna L'Rishus Hefker. Or a Siluk. But even a siluk, right? How do you look at what happens when there's zechiyah liatzmo? He's now a cherim. He's a third party. Or zechiyah liatzmo is always a last minute reprieve, retrieval. Ramban is actually suggesting, at least with regard to chametz, that the potential of Zechiyah Liatzmo is a limitation in the Hafka and the Hafka of Hefker. Surely that's significant. Even as the Ramban, at the same time, assumes that Hefker's Usur B'Shabbos, right, like being Makdish or Mekadesh or Makne, right? So in light of that, when you look at the Miri in Magen Avos, you know, he's going in opposite directions in both of these issues. When it comes to Yitzhak, you saw it? When it comes to Shabbos, what does the Miri say? Hefker's mutter. Why? Yitzhak Yisod or not?
Which Yitzhak are you talking about, Rabbi?
Talinsky, you.
I saw the Miri a couple days ago. Now I don't remember what he said exactly.
Well, you're suggesting we throw it over to Yitzhak Weiss.
Yes.
Okay. Yitzhak, go ahead.
The Miri says that it's only a problem on Shabbos because there's a Hakna al Acher. But by Bittul, where there's no Hakna, there'd be no issue.
And Hefker.
Right.
Yeah. Not just Bittul.
Is the Meiri saying that this Bittul is like a Hefker?
Yeah, he's trying to defend Rabbeinu Tam, for sure.
Even though by the seventh question, he seems to invoke the Lashon of the Ramban?
Yeah. I mean, I think at this point anyway, we'll get back to that. That's a good point. I think I mentioned it a little bit the other day also, but 100%, we'll get back to that. Okay, so basically what he's trying to describe, again, the language, you have the language of the Miri Magen Avos, Yitzhak, in front of you? Yitzhak Weiss?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Because there is still something, a little bit of leeway there. Go ahead.
So Mashik Shara Veravias, She'em Afkir and Bishabis, Vadim Vidim Arich and Imakdish Vimachrimin, Ubazush Aninush Mevatl Echo Bishabis Echo Biyamtif, So Tanani Pekado Sheikhomra, Balo Amru, Mifana Arab Vachamish Kubo Shotabin, Mifana Shumatahora.
You can skip the Raya. Let's get to the result of the Raya.
So Varisa Lamar Behedrish Mafkir and Bishabis.
So I think the only open question in the Miri is, should we emphasize the words that there's no specific recipient? I mean, it's a hakna, but it's not a hakna to a known or specific individual, and that is a prerequisite for the Yisur Shabbos, but that the Miri is not going so far as to say that Hefker is not hakna, right? Or is the Miri saying it's not a hakna, that there's no recipient because it's not hakna, it's siluk, right? It's hak. Both of those could be countenanced. Agreed?
Yeah. Rosenzweig?
Yeah.
If we take the latter approach,
yeah.
How will the Meiri then distinguish between his Kain Hefker and actual Hefker?
Well, he's not making that distinction with regard to Shabbos. I mean, comment of the Meiri about Shabbos is about Hefker general.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the Kain Hefker in a second, but that's where I think, that's why I presented it as being like a little bit curious. That on the one hand, the Ramban thinks that Hefker doesn't work on Shabbos. You'd think that he was, you know, more of a strict constructionist, you know, but Hefker is Hakna. And at the same time, he's wondering, you know, whether Zechi Eliatzmo is kind of, you know, an indication that, you know, there's not even Sila Gomor, never mind Hakna, you know, Chutzo Shuso. And the Miri, I think, has the opposite. When it comes to Shabbos, he seems somewhat comfortable to say that this is Siluk. But, I'm sorry, that this is Hakna, maybe, but maybe not Hakna to somebody specific. But when it comes to Bal Yirah, he thinks that that's still fine. That's still sufficient. Right? Does that satisfy your point? Or
I just don't see how, if we take the Meiri's Kain Hefker idea literally, yeah. In what sense it actually differs from Hefker.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that in a second. But I'm saying here he's not distinguishing. When it comes to Shabbos,
here he's only referring to Hefker itself, right?
All Hefker.
Right.
Yeah. He's just saying all Hefker is permissible on Shabbos.
Right, right. So what I'm saying is that if we explain according to the Meiri that all hefker is simply a siluk, then that leaves us very little room to say that bittul is anything less.
Right. So my answer, we're going to get to that in a second, but I want to say it right now, is that, yeah, I understand that now. I understand the question better. Is that what he'd be saying is that the Kain Siluk here is even a little less than Siluk. And yet it's sufficient. That's what I think you need to say. And what makes it less than Siluk? Because you're not using the right terminology and you're not doing it Bifnei Shlosha. You know, and so on and so forth. And that's what I meant before when I was saying that on the chametz side of, you have a range of views here. This is what I'm struggling, I hope, successfully to convey. That in these exchanges, you have a range of views about hefker, including, you know, maybe an unusual kind of hefker. That's hefker generally and maybe the hefker in this case. And you also have a range of views in terms of what the criteria are going to look like for Bal Yeruah, ranging from, you don't own this at all, you gave it to someone else, you're still Chayav Bal Yeruah, maybe, because it wasn't an Akum, and it wasn't Hekdesh, and so on, to the exact opposite, which says, you still own this on some level, you know, but you're not obligated for Bal Yeruah. Okay? Because you did a Kain, you know, Hefker, which is even less than normal Siluk. And then within the Hefker, it's, oh, there's this interesting, you know, Chametz Hefker. Then there's regular Hefker where there's a debate, you know, how expansive it is, etc. All right? Okay, good. Ooh, time's running out, so let's move more quickly. So that's one part of the Meiri. Yeah. The other part of the Meiri, let's get to it right away, is what's the Meiri's response to the Ramban? So again, he's very emphatic. We read this on Sunday. He's emphatic, certainly, in saying that what are you talking about with the Nachri and the Gavah? Almost like innocently so, frankly, because Meiri himself joins the issue when it comes to Yisrael Chavero and the Mafkin and Nifkad. We saw a little bit of Masker and Socher, you know, where it's not so clear that the absence of positive ownership is enough to be Pater for by Rabbi Imatze. But it's like in the Magen Avos, if somebody has the line and they could read it. Sam?
Sam? Yeah.
Love? Yeah. Do you have a line of the when he rejects the Ramban? That line.
It's an in Yudchet, right?
Yeah, for sure. Everything we're talking about writing in the Meiri right now is very understated in the Beis HaBechir. It's all what I'm quoting from here is the Magen Avos.
Yeah, so he doesn't explicitly. I don't think he explicitly references the Ramban.
Yeah, no, the whole thing is a response to the Ramban. That's for sure. But the Shabbos part we read already. What is his response to that? I read it yesterday, but what is his response to the idea that maybe Hefker would be Chayev Bal Yeruah by Imatze? You have that? He quotes both. Right. Number one, it isn't Akum. Number two, Iunami Matzi Zachibe. I think those are two different points in the Ramban. They are. Right? One is a Bal Yeruah point and the other is a Hefker point. Right, I mean, obviously the interface. So Minola and Dashari says, "You have it, Sam. Go ahead." Zodvadai Tmiya.
Yeah, Zodvadai Tmiya. Uma Inyan Lihitchayev Bo Acher Sheinu Shalel.
Oh, very simple. like he's in denial. Now that is the assumption of Tosis, but definitely not the view of all the Rishonim. I mean, shalom is a prerequisite. Positive shalom is a prerequisite for Bal Yirah. Right? Makes sense. And obviously the Ramban is saying no. Okay. Keep going. Haga'at smecha.
Yeah, haga'at smecha kishehef kiro ze kama. Afal pi shalom zecha bo acher mi mechayev bei. You
vare. You? Would he be chayev just because don't pick it up?
Vare. Yeah.
And he thinks that's the pshat in the Yerushalmi too. So basically, then he goes on even to explain the Yerushalmi. I'm not going to get into the details of that for now. Because the Yerushalmi was quoted by the Ramban as evidence that A, there's a debate, maybe even the Maskana Hefker doesn't work. So the Miri says, no, because that isn't a real Hefker. We'll see the Merim Chalav also. You know, that's a genuine Hefker, Lemafreya. It's Harama, etc. Okay. As far as the Zachibay part, that we'll get to more a little bit in the Maram Chalava, but let's go to the Kain Binyamin, which you were saying before. The Meiri earlier, you know, addresses all the other questions of the Ramban, namely the linguistic question, why do you call it Bittul, the Rabbi Yossi Aglili question, you know, what is Rabbi Yossi Aglili going to do about this, the Shlosha. All the standards of Hefker question. What does it say to that, Binyamin? So he already has, again, it's hard to know, as I said the other day, is all of this being read in light of kind of the later Rabbi Shmuel? Not till he mentions it in the very end. I'm assuming not. Although I think that they are related, but I think there's a progression in the Meiri, frankly. That's how I'm reading it. Okay, so I think before that he's already saying something important. What is he saying? You have the line, Binyamin?
Yeah.
So in part, on which one? Bishni, all right? Which one are you on?
I was going to start from Elohim Kushyosav Shel Haravza.
Okay, yeah, you could do that. That's even earlier. Yeah, go ahead.
Elohim Kushyosav Shel Haravza She'enon Machrios L'stiras Devarav Shel Rabbeinu Yaakov Klal.
Yeah. Okay, great. So that's a good beginning. So what is this Kain Hefker? Number one, it's missing. He makes it perfectly clear. This is a qualitatively different Hefker. Correct? Yemen? And how does that express itself? Number one, very carefully. It's a hefker le'inyan shaloye kori mamono ad she libo olav l'shmiraso. That's a big sentence. That's not a pithy slogan. Right?
Right.
Like if you're wearing a mask, it's hard to get in. At least for me it is. Right? So, like, what is that? I mean, it could be a little more verbose. Elishe ka'afar ha'munach l'drisa sakol. Part of the Ramban's criticism is, where do we find Hefker referred to as afar? So, like, the Miri's doubling down on that. I'll, raise the ante. This is Hefker Shalafar. What do you mean Shalo Ye Karui? Maybe it is Mamono? What's the Karui? Adshi He Libo Alav of the Shemira. Meaning it's not Mamono Legabe Libo Alav of the Shemira. So rather, he treats it like Afar Munach Ledrisas Hakol. That's between him and his conscience or whatever. I mean, his attitude towards the object has to do with Hefker? And with Kari Mamono? Keep going. In the Shnia. Oh, yeah. Sorry. In Kavana Lizakos Boshem Yisrael matters? Because no one's going to do it because it's Kari's. But that's true. But that's a legally consequential point? If he could give it to Goyim, that would be more closer to Hefker, right? Right? So what's going on here? A lot of these are very subjective and attitudinal. It sounds like it's, but he still, remember, this, for sure, the world has changed because of the Ramban. There's no going back. Right? But there is going forward. Meaning you don't have to abandon Rabbeinu Tam because of the Ramban. But you just can't go back, you know, to traditional Hefker either. So he's not. What we're being exposed to, and this is, you know, Kachi Darka Shel Torah, we're revising, reassessing Hefker and Kol HaTorah Kula, for sure. Or like, types of Hefkers within Hefker, facets of Hefker, some of which can exist in their own right and that are relevant vis-a-vis this particular application. How much, revision of Hefker or components of Hefker, how much, are we changing the goalposts, if you will, in terms of Bayura? Right? This is a study in that. That's what's so fast. That's why I'm taking a little more time because it's a great, again, it's a great piece to see that. By definition, the Miri's walking a fine line. How do you justify Tosis post Ramban? The answer is you change the goalposts a little bit, which Ramban himself kind of justified it. Not ironically, but not coincidentally. But also, you need to reassess. If we can't go with classical full Hefker, we're going with some of the components that are implicit in it, but because of also the change goalposts or other things might be enough here. That's what this Miri is doing. That's what needs to be done. Okay, go ahead. What's a Shnia? Go ahead. Again, similar. It doesn't come trippingly off your tongue. Nikra hefker ke'ein hefker klomar mevatel ha'inyan shebo haya nikra shelo. It sounds like other people's perception reflected by your shmira and attitude and awareness that no one else is going to pick this up or no Jew's going to, right? And this afar, but again, not Betoras afar, Hefker, because it's afar, is Koveya here. Keep going. Skip a little bit.
Skip it.
We read it. Why not?
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Who should be pchisas or mevatel kol ma shehayabo mikolach eser?
Meaning what? Again, you can break down components sometimes, even if you're not getting the fullness of something. Go ahead.
V'chein bittol rishos aso medris lechol b'nei hachotzer ukumi she'ein miyuchad lo.
Again, what's happening here is fascinating. Is, in the process of the pressure of defending the shita and the reexamination that it, you know, generates of hefker and chametz, you know, you all of a sudden start realizing that in other contexts there are parallels that you weren't aware of. Right? So like bitul reshus, bitul avodah zarah, they're not as absolute, you know, hakna'a type things either. They're attitudinal, and they relate to like some of the components, but not all the components of a legal transaction. That's how I read this, these parallels. Go ahead. Then comes a good line, a really important line. Go ahead.
Zu gedola mehefker shebikan. Shebikan mevatlo mios koach urishus la'elu velo lezulaso elik offer shuhu medjus lakol. V'eno miyuchad la'adam acher. V'avshim adam ein lo bahanas haguf miyuchadas. Ubitlo ze hu etzli ke'ein teven ubitlo afar ubitlo. Klomar.
Also pages from the Gemara, right? Yeah. Now here comes the klomar, which I think is really interesting. Go ahead.
Shem misyayish mimenu shelo yitain levelav litlo misham. V'af ze osa atzmo misyayish mimenu ad she'ein daito alav ela kedavar she'eno shelo v'lo misham adam.
Okay. That's, of course, the next step in the breakthrough. Right, Binyamin?
Yeah.
Meaning what? Yeish, of course, is one of those... It's exactly this problem. I'm not saying it's exactly this status and solution of the meaning. There's a massive discussion in the Rishonim about how to understand how Yeish works. Yeish of Zel, Yeish of Aveda. Is Yeish Hefker? Is it a kind of Hefker? It's certainly on the border of Hefker. It tells us in Meruba and Daf Samach Tes, old pieces say, Yeish is not Hefker, right? Other Rishonim, there are Gemaras that make it seem like Yeish is on the border of Hefker. You have the famous discussions in the Achronim, the Ksos and the Nesivos. You know, what is it? Dover Sheni Shalo, Dover Sheni Bershuso. Yeish is tricky. Because what really happens in Yeish, would you say?
So somebody, let's say, loses an object. So Yeish basically, to a certain extent, detaches that individual from his object.
Correct. But not formally. Pragmatically. I lose hope that this is going to return to me. Therefore, I no longer attitudinally perceive it as my own. Right? That doesn't mean that, again, nothing happened to it that objectively takes it out of my rishus, other than the fact that I no longer expect it to return. So it's different than what's happening here, but it's very parallel. It's my attitude to the object, which, this is what I really want to say, affects maybe an aspect of my ownership, but not the formal aspect of my ownership, the operative aspect of my ownership, which has to do with my self-image and the likely prospect that I will or can control the destiny of this object. Let's just say generally, right, that ownership expresses itself in two different ways. And the interrelationship between these two components is a big, big issue in all of Bailus. I don't know, is the yeshiva learning Baal Basra next year? Is that true? That's a rumor? Or it's true? True? Avram, is it true? Avram doesn't know. I'm impressed with that. Okay, a man after my own heart. Anybody know? Avram, he probably knows. You can admit it if you know.
I've only been told, but I don't know, by so many of the most credible people that we are, but not...
Yeah, there you go. See? Excellent. Anyways, so a big chunk of Bava Basra, right? Bava Kama too, because Bava Kama is a lot of, as we know, Gezel and and Geneva and so on. But in Mamas, we have the, you know, creating Kinyanim. The relationship between formal ownership and what we'll call pragmatic or operative, you know, befoal ownership, the ability to do things with and to control the destiny of an object. You could have situations where you are formal owner, but you have lost that sense of control. You can have situations where you are a practical owner, but not a formal owner. Right? So this is a very big issue. Yeush is a great example, right? Nothing has happened to the chefetz. No one took it from you. The question is whether they can take it from you or not. But per se, right now, right? It's your attitude, your sense of, you know, you gave up. That's what Yeush is. Isuriana, that's going to be a big issue for us. We'll talk more about it. There's a debate in the Rishonim based on conflicting Gemaras. You know, maybe it should be mechalik between different types of Isuriana, including Chametz because of Rabbi Shmuel. What about Mudr Hana? The evidence might be different. Right? Is Isuriana Lachem or not? Do you own Isuriana or not? Formally. Big issue. Dalad Minim. Probably can't be Yotze anyway because you need Heter Hana, but that's a debate between the Ritva and the Ravid in Lulav HaGazel. And Rishonim it all over the place and different Lishonos in the Gemara, including our Gemara about Rabbi Shmuel. Yisuri Hana is a situation where you can't benefit from the object. Right? Is that only a value question or that ends up being an ownership question? Or let's say something is less than a pruta, so it doesn't have value, but you're allowed to use it. Is there ownership on something which is less than a pruta? Also debate. Right? The din of Rabbi Yochanan. Zelefi Shein Shalom, Zelefi Shein Rishusa. Right? Gozov Alon Siyashua Bailim. Right, ze lefi sheinu shelo, zev zeinu mecholam lagdisho, ze lefi sheinu shelo, ze lefi sheinu bershuso. There's a big debate whether eino bershuso, the din of Rabbi Yochanan, whether eino bershuso is a problem in kinyanim or not. Because if I am the owner, but I can't control, somebody else is in control of the destiny of the object, maybe he's a bailim, a competing bailim, or at least that takes away from my bailus. Okay, so the parameters of this are very, that's why we talk about also whether Yeush, you know, is Eino Bershuso or Eino Shelo, or Yisriana, maybe it is Shelo, but it's Eino Bershuso, the discussion of the Xos and the Sivas and so on. We're trying to figure out the same idea. You could be Mechalek, these are all different cases. Shovi, Yisriana, Eino Bershuso, Yeush, a kind of siluk, or an in-between, a limbo. But in the end of the day, I think that's what the Meiri is saying. I think the Meiri is saying, full hafker is a hakna, or a siluk, an absolute siluk. And of course that requires certain lashon, certain conditions. But even before you get to Hakna, there's Siluk. Or, if Hefker classically, this is my answer to Binyamin, taking both sides, even if Hefker is classically Siluk, before you get to Siluk Gamor, there are still some elements in the Siluk, some facets of it. And that, I think, is what the Meiri is describing here, even before he talks about the moving of the goalposts, maybe for Bal Yirah, right? Or for neutralizing Bayura, to be more precise. So what he's saying is, if it's not Kori Mamono, because you're not treating it that way, or you don't perceive it that way, for objective reasons, right? Ad Shiyehei, you know, Libo Olav L'Shmiraso, if you're treating it like Afar, it's Midras, Drisa's call, if you can't even think about, it's the kind of thing that no one's going to pick up out either. Like it's, you know, avud mimenu mikol adam in a way. And then the clincher, it's like Yeush. What, Yeush according to the mandam are Yeush midas, have a Yeush or lo have a Yeush? By the way, Yeush midas, Yeush lo midas, right? That's a fascinating question. So at least Yeush midas, you could say, it's miktsas hefker. Yeush lo midas. So you could say, oh, if he found, some people say, if he found out about it, this is what he would do. Well, okay. But I think a better pshat is, whether you know about it or not, you may not know that you've lost control. Or that the circumstances are such, you know, that diminishes your bilus. But that's still what's happened. When you find out about it, you'll know about it. So your lack of yedia, right, may not be relevant to the loss, we'll stop in like 2 more minutes, of control. So that's, I think, what the Meiri is trying to tell us. He's saying, typically Hefker is Hakna. Here it's Siluk, because of all these things. Or, typically it's Siluk. Here it's less than Siluk. But that doesn't mean it's nothing. Because in Kol Torah Kula, being less than Siluk, you know, matters because, you know, the question is Acher going to be Zochabo, et cetera. Here it's a little different. So maybe, if you're talking about Hafkas Bailus, formal Bailus, you don't have that. But operational Bailus, pragmatic Bailus, enough that, or Siluk, that you have. That depends on, you know, looking at it as a Davarsher that requires Shmira, as not being Afar, as not being equivalent to Yeush. As something which is not even Om Roy Leos, you know, Omeid Lizchia Sacherim, etc. So if this is the case, then we can appreciate what the Meiri is telling us here. And that is, the Ramban would be right if for the Re in Rabbeinu Tam and so on, you needed Hefker Gamor. But even in the absence of Hefker Gamor, maybe there is not a basis for Bal Yiroah, because there is more than Miktsas Hefker here. There's Kain Hefker. The Kain Hefker is good enough. Now, the goalpost changing part, yeah. 1 second. That's where he comes up with the quotation from the Ramban, but that he turns into an onesh, which is very interesting. Do you have that line, Binyamin?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Mashaykh Shabishvius, Shain Zelashan Hefker, Shilo Amar Kol Nechasai Betalim.
So this, number one, very fascinating that he says, Ela Shatora unsho lasos bishalo, al sha'avar behichsik bo bishalo. That's a different formulation than the Ramban. It's a different formulation even than the Ran. Correct? At the same time, this is not exactly the Ran. The Ran also rehabilitates the Re. But the Ran's rehabilitation is purely on the basis of Rabbi Yishmael. It's not, he doesn't do the work, the heavy lifting on the Hefker side, you know, of it. You know, the Ramban's not saying, you know, this is, every Hefker also includes this component, and for here, this is good enough. Right? The Ramban doesn't actually address, the Ran isn't addressing any of the substantive problems of Hefker in this context. He's only saying, as far as Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Shalom, and I'm sorry, in the language and the belave, etc. So we're making this Hefker. How does it work? It works as regular Hefker for the Ran. It works as regular Hefker, but it can defy all the rules because the Ramban himself introduced Rabbi Yishmael, even though that's not how the Ramban introduced it. We'll see. We'll get back to that when we finish with this on Thursday tomorrow, Thursday, Mirat Hashem. But for the Meiri, number one, the din of Rabbi Yishmael itself is an onesh, which reflects the chumra al sha'avar v'hichsik bo b'shalo. Right? But it also moves the goalposts enough that this ke'ein hefker, which still is an objective status, is going to be sufficient here. Okay, so let's stop here. What I want to finish with Thursday is I want to first discuss Maram Chalava, a little bit of an alternative, and the Ksos. I thought you'll look at Reishain Gimel Aleph. Then I want to circle back to the other couple of points in the Ramban and the Ran.